Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, hey, welcome to season 3 of Dark Class Dreamers, where we are reviewing another new crazy show.
Should I say something at this point?
It's Hammer House of Horror. It's what?
Sorry, there was a long pause there. I wasn't sure if you wanted me to say something or you were doing something.
Both. I was fading out the music and you were going to introduce yourself. It's Dark Place Robert!
Yay!
So I racked my brains for like 4 months to think what shows would fall under a Dark Place Dreamers title. And I thought Hammer House of Horror maybe fits in there because of the dark. Horror is dark.
I've never heard of this series before. I mean, the best description I have is, you know, the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror?
That, yeah.
It's pretty much that, just whatever the Simpsons is taking the make out of.
So Hammer Horror was a very big, from like the 30s, I think, to the 80s or to the 70s, was a big British horror movie franchise. They did all the Christopher Lee Dracula films. They did, you know, The Mummy, Frankenstein, all the classics. And then they just kind of stopped making movies in the 70s. In the 80s, they released this weird TV show, Hammer House of Horror, and then they basically disappeared for 30 years. And now they're back. They've done a few new movies in the last decade. But I thought we'd review this show. There's 13 episodes, and it's kind of weird and random. We got off to an interesting start, though, because we didn't know if we were going to watch the show together or separately. So you already watched it. I hadn't watched it, so I made you waste time. Then I watched the wrong episode. So I'm very sorry.
I mean, this is already starting off on a horror story.
Yeah, so we're going to today review the first and last episodes, 1 and 13. But the trick is going to be, can either of us make... So we're going to do the rest of them together. But the competition today will be, can either of us make the episode we missed sound good enough for the other one to just watch it voluntarily?
I mean, based on what I've just watched, I doubt it.
Yeah, no.
I definitely think you're going to watch the first one.
I will watch it anyway. So why don't you go first with the first episode? How does Hammer House of Horror begin?
Wow. Okay. So I suppose the very first thing is we're thrown for a loop because, I mean, we have this weird scene where we see a woman, she's getting undressed and she's about to get into a bathtub. And then she's kind of being, the camera is kind of stalking her and it's getting steadily closer and closer. And then eventually it gets so close that she notices, turns around and screams, and then it freezes. And it turns out that it's actually a sound technician who's doing some audio for a TV show.
Okay. So you get, the swerve.
It's all, he's a synth musician and all of this stuff. So I figure that's immediately up your alley, Dean. But from there, he makes a phone call. He calls up his, I think it's his wife. It is his wife. Phones up his wife and says, are you going to be back tonight? And she says, no. I've got a few more shots to do. I'm in the flat and I won't be able to come home until tomorrow. He's like, okay, well, we expect you tomorrow early? And I was like, no, probably not. He's quite annoyed. They have a small little conversation and they just both go away from that conversation quite angry and frustrated with each other. And then it pans out from herself and a fella gets into the bed with her.
Ooh.
So there's already an affair that's been established, which kind of explains a lot of the frustration.
Okay. Now, I need to ask you two important questions before we continue. The first is, are you glad or not to figure out that all the episodes are unrelated after having watched one?
I suppose glad because I don't want to see these people for a very,
Yeah,
for
I feel the same
many
after
episodes.
mine. There's one or two very good episodes, though. I do remember that. The other question is, since we can't play That's So Raven, is it helpful if I play some scary sound effects?
Oh, definitely thunder in the background.
Do we want this? Is that good?
I guess so.
There we go. So,
I'm more confused than terrified.
so this is some horror sound effects. So, okay, continue.
So yes, then we. So once we've established all that, one of the other tasks is that she has to make sure, can you go out and look after the horses? He goes out, looks after the horses, then a storm kicks off. And inevitably, the power is cut out as well, as all storms do for any movie that has a storm in them.
The power goes out so frequently in horror, like so unrealistically frequently.
Well, I mean, like electricity back in the 80s, it wasn't exactly the most reliable.
Yeah, I suppose. And we yeah, this is a cheesy 80s show. So that's fair. Even the title card, like all the sound effects are very cheesy in 80s. The title card looks like you've done it in clip art, Hammer House of Horror, and it's all like
Oh yeah.
dun dun dun. I love it.
No, it's all, I mean, you love it, but it's all hideous. It's
Oh,
all
it's
so 80s.
horrendous.
I mean, if you could sum up the 80s with just a single image, that would be it. But yeah, so I mean, immediately we kick off. The dog is the power goes out. The dog is barking at the door, and he lets the dog out. I don't think we see the dog after that,
Oh, okay. Is that
which I'm kind of.
relevant or?
I wish I could remember anybody's names throughout this entire thing. I think the dog's name is Bobby.
Okay, I have remembered zero names as well. So between us, we've got a dog called Bobby.
They're not memorable. I think the main character is Peter or something like that. I'm going to call him Peter for the rest of the episode, and somebody can comment and say how wrong I was or how far away I was.
Now hold on. Very few people are listening, and very few people have ever watched this show. I feel like this is the world's smallest Venn diagram crossover. I
Feel like we've got one
it's.
Die Hard fan out there. They're just listening for just the
They've
absolute
been waiting for
trailblazing
so long for this.
podcast
Every day, they're like, when are they going to review Hammer House of Horror?
that this is. So this is when everything gets a little bit more interesting now, because what
Okay.
we're he goes out looking for the dog. The dog runs off, and immediately he goes looking. As you live in a farm, you let the dog out. You generally don't worry this much about a dog, but you do. He goes out looking for the dog and finds kind of a black lump in the, I think it's one of the sheds or something like that. And he's calling to it, saying, "Bobby, Bobby." But he eventually goes over and lifts the thing and finds that it's actually a cloaked woman.
Oh, so he finds a dead woman or
Nope, she's
just
very much
cloaked?
alive.
Okay.
And she's saying, she starts saying, "I got away from them. I did it. I got away from them," and all of this nonsense. And then it becomes very clear that she's actually a time traveler. They have a bit of back and forth
Wow.
dialogue about this, that she was actually, I don't know if people didn't expect much from television back in the 80s, but a lot of their dialogue was just, "Oh, what year? Who's the queen? Or who's the monarch at the moment?" All this kind of generic questions. But it turns out she was actually a witch from 300 years ago, and she used her magic to cast herself into the future.
Okay, so we're getting a bit sci-fi now as well as horror, potentially.
I wouldn't say sci-fi.
Time travel, no?
We're always traveling through time, just forward. But
Travel through time 1 second every second.
well, not technically sure, but we won't go into that.
No, there's a song about Wiggly Time Travel. The guy who did some of our theme tunes, he also did Wiggly Time Traveler, and it was a pilot for a show, and then it says he can only travel forward in time about 1 second every second, and he has like the hat and the anyway, magnifying glass. Go.
So, carrying on with the episode, yes, they eventually just establish that she is a witch from 300 years ago, promises to keep her safe, I guess, or to, you know, she comes into the house, she barges into the house. He offers her a drink, as you do. He's very calm and it's like, do you want to go upstairs and rest for a bit, or what do you want to do? And eventually the power comes back on, she freaks out. You know, modern technology is just too much for her to handle.
Sure.
But eventually she, you know, he shows her around the house, but then he ends up locking her in the nursery, which was a weird place to decide to lock her in.
Were the kids in the nursery?
No, there's no kids in the entire thing.
Okay. So it's less bad. It'd be bad if he locked them in the nursery with the kids. They're screwed
Yeah.
out.
It was very weird because then he goes downstairs and he doesn't phone the police. This woman has just broken into his house and he's offered her a drink and been very hospitable and she's been fine. But now he's locked her up and he's gone and phoned his doctor or psychiatrist, somebody who's actually supposed to help him,
Okay.
because he has some, he has a few issues. Doctor comes around, they go in, he starts explaining how he's locked her in the nursery, and there's bars on the window there, so there's no way she could possibly get out. He
Sure.
says they go in and they find nothing.
Oh no, she's somehow escaped.
She escaped from the, you know, this unescapable room.
Who would have seen that coming?
I mean, first off, why is there bars on the nursery? I don't understand that.
You know, that's a very good point, actually. Are they keeping kids in? Is this normal?
Don't know what they did back in the 80s. This is not normal. But also locking up women that you just find out and outside is also a weird move.
Public service announcement: neither lock up random women nor your children. There we
I
go.
mean, you can totally lock up your kids. It's called a baby gate.
With bars on the window?
Bars on the window, not so much. I just want to reinforce the window in case they throw a ball at the window. I don't know. I have no idea. Or maybe it was to keep people out. Maybe babies were just that desirable back then.
More on that in my episode. So.
Oh, maybe there's an overarching theme that's actually in every episode that we've never touched on. Like, Anyway, moving on. So the doctor says, you know, are you doing okay? Is everything all right? You know, you shouldn't be drinking when you're on the medication that I prescribed you. And it's like, but she was here and all of this nonsense. And they're pretty much, you know, telling him he's insane.
No.
Doctor goes downstairs, phones up his wife and says, you know, you got to come back. He can't be left alone. You're going to have to just come back now. So she says, right, first thing in the morning, I'll come back and see you. Except that after the doctor leaves, then the witch shows up and he starts saying, no, you know, you're an apparition. You're just in my head. You're just imagination. Blah, blah, you're not real. Except then she drops her cloak and grabs his hand and places it on her breast and says, doesn't this feel
Oh.
real? Oh, yeah, it gets quite saucy now at this point, because they actually spend the
Okay,
night
I'm
together.
in. I gotta watch this one later.
You're not the only one. This fella, spends the night with a woman. She scratches his back to boogery. And
Nice.
then the wife shows up the following morning and finds him alone in bed.
So everyone's cheating. This is kind of some kind of very saucy
This is the
episode.
80s.
Yeah,
Also, he was fairly convinced that she was just a figment of his imagination.
that's the oldest excuse in the book.
I didn't think she was real.
She
I mean, that's why Rene Descartes came
was a
up with the
time
I
traveler from
think.
300 years ago. What about Descartes? You've piqued my interest there.
Was just about to say, that's why Descartes came up with this philosophy. I think, therefore, I am.
Ah, right. You've been having too many affairs.
Just
Oh,
too many
goodness.
questions. Then, God, what happens next? I'm trying to remember. There's a whole sequence of things that happen all very, very quickly. She's very concerned about his behavior. She goes up and finds a decapitated crow in the bed that's still twitching and it's still just quite recently dead. And she says, Peter, what have you done? Like, it wasn't me, you know, I was downstairs. It couldn't have possibly been me. She gets fed up. She goes out for a horse ride. He goes out to bury the crow in the garden for whatever reason, except then he sees an apparition of his wife in the grave instead of the crow. So he goes down to kiss his wife.
Okay.
Except that he comes away dripping with blood all over his face, and he's actually just kissed the dead crow.
Ah, of course.
And he then cries out the witch's name. I think it's Lyeth or something. Or Lily. Lilith. Yes, it is
Lilith,
Lilith.
probably, no?
Lilith, possibly something with, beginning with
Something,
L, but he's very much, he
yeah.
just goes around the entire episode shouting out her name. So I'm really surprised that I can't remember her name. But after being tricked and tricked into kissing a dead crow instead of his dead wife, he then storms up to the house. Wife is back at the house.
You're just trying to kiss a dead lady and you get tricked into kissing a dead crow. I mean,
Happens
of all
all the
the, yeah.
time. Happens all the time. I'm really sorry. I'm actually just rambling and kind of just trying to get through the
Does
entire thing. It's just.
it help if I play this? That's just giving you 3 seconds to
Played
think, so let's go.
Silence. Most frightening sound.
Oh yeah, you didn't. I turned off the. No one heard that. I turned off the. Anyway, it just was a swoosh.
Ah, fair enough. The next sequence I loved. I just thought it was so weird. I thought it was so funny because she get then strips down to her underpants and she's just about to run a bath. She's running the water. She turns around to get some soap and then she turns back and drops the soap in the bath because it's full of blood. And then she goes to the top of the stairs and shouts, "Peter, are you there? Peter, what have you done?" And then as she's going down the stairs, there's a bust that's pushed down. Knocking her the rest of the way down the stairs. And Peter shows up and says, "Oh my God, what happened? Peter, what have you done? I know it was you." She starts blaming him for all the awful things, the blood in the bathtub, trying to kill her from above in a different floor of the house. She's just, I love how much she's blaming him for everything. And saying that he's a danger to her because the doctor had a quiet word and said, "Yeah, I wouldn't leave you in the care of somebody who was dangerous, but he should be fine." At some point, she's packing her bag, still in her underpants, by the way. She's packing a bag to leave.
Important details are being
I would have
explained.
thought if you're going to leave, getting dressed first and then packing a bag would have been a good idea.
Well, she's packed it all. Now she's going to have to unpack one dress to put on.
You would have to pack it and unpack it. But in the middle of all this, then the room, things start flying around the room. There's a ghostly wind that blows up, and their clothes are blown out of wardrobes. The bookshelf explodes in a flurry of pages. And then there's just silence. And she looks at him, and I fully expected her to go, "Peter, what did you do?" She did not, however. She then says, "I'm so sorry. I didn't believe you. I didn't think there was a Liliath anywhere, or Lilith, or whatever the hell the witch's name was." And then it's all kind of fine afterwards. She goes out, she goes to visit the local vicar and starts talking about exorcisms and what exactly could have happened.
Course.
And they have a very poor conversation about the difference between telekinesis and telepathy. So they, he suggests maybe it's a poltergeist at first, but it might actually be a witch, or it might
Okay.
be some sort of malevolent entity that's already alive, living in the house.
And the episode is
All
called The Witching, so I'm guessing it's a witch. That's, they should have figured this out.
I mean, they don't know the name of the episode.
Rookie mistake.
Yeah. All the while she's out talking to the vicar, the witch has shown up again, started bothering Peter in bed and saying, "You have to kill your wife. She's a strumpet and she's having an affair on you."
True,
And, oh yeah, she knows all about it somehow.
though.
And she's saying all this, and then she grabs him by the hair and pulls him back, says, "You're mine. I've left my mark on you. Mwahaha."
Hold on. He would be a bit of a hypocrite to kill the wife when he's also having an affair.
Yeah, but he's having an affair with a malevolent entity who has magical power, bewitching powers. Literally, what she is also linked to bewitching. Okay,
Fair.
no, I'm actually not going to defend them. They're all just terrible people.
It sounds like
I
it,
choose to
to be
pick her.
honest. It sounds like they're all terrible, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, they're all terrible. And even in the middle of all this, her fancy man shows up. I can't remember who her fancy man was. It might have been the doctor. I wasn't paying that much attention. He shows up and they say, they should really get away and do something. And then they have an argument and turns out that he wasn't that into her. He was just there for the physical affection. Surprise. And yes, and then we have a shot-for-shot repeat of the opening scene where he's stalking her as she's just about to get into the tub and then creeps up behind her and she screams and then that's the end of the episode.
Oh wow. So what was the purpose of it all?
Don't let crazy ladies into your house or keep an eye out for red flags. Don't
Okay.
date crazy women.
I'm gonna watch it anyway. Cool. Well, now on to the last episode, The Mark of Satan. This one, well, I'll tell you what we need first, real quick. We'll just put another spooky sound effect between episodes, between
Audio
ah.
That was so spooky. I nearly pooed my pants. Scene.
was quite creepy. I'm done. So
Did you scare
that
yourself?
one scared me. The show was canceled. So we open with the cheesy 80s, title card and everything else that we talked about. So that's fine. So the very first scene is some doctors are doing a surgery. The patient shouts out, they're drilling into his head. The patient shouts out, "Don't touch my soul," and then dies. And then we get the title card. Oh, I've written down awful yet amazing spooky music. The Mark of Satan. I did think this was a weird first episode, so I'm glad it actually wasn't. We meet a guy disputing his winnings. So they say, "Oh, you won on the where on the pools or whatever," and you get £9. And he says, "Should it not have been 16?" And they say, "No, you get nine. So remember that." Now he gets told off for taking a tag off a dead guy when he's supposed to keep it on him. And then they say, "Pop him in the drawer." Okay, which drawer should I put him in? Number nine. And then he's going to put in some stitches. And they say, "How many stitches?" He says, "Probably three rows of three stitches. Nine is always a good amount of stitches to put." So now a lot of weird music and people wearing sunglasses. He arrives home to his house, which is number nine, and they have a female lodger with a baby. And he says, "Was anyone with sunglasses around?" And she's like, "No, what are you talking about?" And then his mum comes in. She's a landlady. She's awful. She says the single woman with a baby is a strumpet, and we don't want her kind around. You shouldn't talk to her. And he says to the girl, "These people with sunglasses and the radio and the police, and I'm trying to contact them, and all these people are going around, and there's nines everywhere, but I'm not crazy." And it's a really, really long scene where he just explains, it's just exposition explaining a lot of stuff. So then we see them put the dead body into a funeral car, and the number plate on the funeral car is 927. So they're really, really hammering home the nines. Okay. But then a guy comes out and says, "Oh, it wasn't £9 you won, it was 16. There's your other £7." And now he's like, "Oh, was I worrying about nothing with all these nines?" So now he looks at the dead guy's name and he looks at his own name. The dead guy's Samuel Holt or something. And he has some system to, translate numbers into letters, and it's all nines and three sixes and two sevens and multiples of nine. So he goes to a church, finds a priest, and just screams, "Cure me! Cure me!" And the priest's like, "The hell's going on with this guy?" And he says that it's all a conspiracy with these nines, and they're following me because I'm innocent. My mum is behind it all. She killed my dad. There's a fake virus that seems like meningitis that killed my dad, and now it's going to kill me. And this is all coming out of nowhere. So the priest
Wow.
reads Revelation, and he's like, "It's let him ha who hath understanding reckon the number of the beast. It's 666. It's not 999. What are you talking about?" And the guy's like, "Well, what happens when you turn 666 upside down? Rah! It's 999." And then he looks at the hymn board. You know, they'll have the numbers of the hymns, and the hymns they're singing today are 9, 18, and 36. So he freaks the hell out and runs out of the church. And now he goes to the library, does some studies, looks at the newspaper, and we find out that the dead guy was planning to eat a baby. So if this sounds like disjointed, it's because it is. Now he sees the lodger's boyfriend laughing, and he's like, you told him you're all laughing at me. You told him about my nines. And she's like, no, don't worry, he's just left me, so it's okay. And then in the creepiest way, she invites him up for tea. It's this weird, like a full minute of just like, yeah, he doesn't like me anymore, but would you like to come up for tea? Come on, that's good. Come on, just a little. Come on up for tea. It's really creepy. It's very strange. And then
Okay.
he rambles nonsense about the nines and the priest and the doctors and the police, and this doctor's in on it and that doctor's in on it. And the whole time she doesn't respond to anything he's saying and just flirts with him. And then she's like, you know, we should put your mum in a home, and then I'll stay here and I'll look after you, and we can live together, and I'll have more space for my baby, and I'll look after you. So he stabs his mum.
Okay, that was easy.
Yeah, just out of nowhere. He's like, you know, I'm gonna stab. And the woman comes in, she's like, oh, you killed her. All right. Like, no reaction, just totally no sells it. And then he thinks, should I eat her baby like the other guy was going to do? So now the priest comes in and he says, look, I'm looking for him. I'm very worried about him. He ran out of the church. The priest is not in on it. And did he talk to you about nines? And there's a lot of stuff about nines. Now the guy's in work. He's panicking about the nines. He comes home and the girl has got her hair done. And her hair has three little curls over the forehead in the shape of sixes or nines. So he is, I've written down, he is flipping mental. He absolutely freaks out about these little details.
Okay.
Before I wrap it up, what do you think is going on?
It sounds
If
like the plot of
anything.
27.
I don't know what that is.
27 was a terrible movie, with that fella. Oh, who did Ace Ventura?
Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Oh.
He did quite
Okay.
a weird, nearly serious movie. Called 20, was it 29 or 27? Doesn't matter. But it sounds a lot like that. He just sounds absolutely mental.
Well, that's what I thought. Now he's in hospital and everyone is standing around him, all the doctors and everything. And it turns out that all
Wait. How did he end up in hospital?
he freaks out after
Murdering his
the
mom?
999s, he just has like a breakdown. I think he collapses. He's just in hospital. And they're all standing around. They're like, oh, you had a terrible time. Do you remember what happened? So it's not really explained. Like, do you remember what happened? Like, you freaked out. And he's like, yeah, all this stuff's happening. Basically, they just gaslight the mother flipping hell out of him the whole time. And they're just like, well, did all this stuff happen? Like, are you sure? We think you have paranoia and persecution mania, but we've cured you now. You've been in here for 3 months. So it's all okay. Like, don't worry. And it's like, well, why are my coworkers here? And why is the lady here? And you're all worried that I forget everything. And she's like, do you remember what happened the time you freaked out? Don't worry about it. It's all okay now. You were crazy. You freaked out. Everything's fine. And they say, but you probably shouldn't work in the morgue anymore. And the movie ends, the show episode ends with him realizing it is true that they're gaslighting him. So he takes a drill and drills into his own head. And then when they get him in surgery, he shouts, don't take my soul, don't touch my soul, just like the guy in the opening scene. And it's a mirror effect.
Oh, I really like that. I actually do like that.
It's
I actually
kind of
think I will
cool.
give this a watch. It does sound interesting enough.
It's a bit mad though. And if it, you know, as the first episode, it's like, what's going on with this weird Satanist show or something? So
I think I'll give that a watch.
it's random. And I rushed through it because I kind of thought that we would get your reactions to it because you would have also seen it. So that didn't work. I think you were better at remembering than I was actually. But you know, I'm glad I wrote notes now, because if I hadn't, I would have not remembered anything, even though I watched it 20 minutes ago. But it's kind of disjointed, like, but that's the whole point, right? It's he's kind of going a bit crazy, so that's why it's like,
No, it's like a fractured effect.
yeah, it's well enough done. I mean, her dialogue, I couldn't figure out if she's meant to be weird or if she's just a terrible actress. The girl who gets the hair ringlets done, and she actively wants him to kill and eat her baby in several scenes. They're like, you should eat this baby; it will make you okay.
Well, okay.
And yeah, it's weird, but her acting is terrible.
I think I'll. give it a watch. It might not be terrible. She just might. I have no idea.
Or she's meant to be like that. Like, as I say, the scenes are really creepy and things, so it's hard to know.
Maybe she is a terrible actor, but the director was just like, we could use that.
Yeah, I
That's always
guess
the.
it works, right?
I think we should have a follow-up episode on this where we actually watch each other's episodes and then we critique it.
We could do that. Why don't we? I'm gonna go watch it anyway, so we can both watch those. And then when we're doing the next episode, we'll just devote like 5 minutes to saying what we thought of each other's on this one.
I think so. I'm quite happy with the series. It's a good find, actually. Good choice.
Good.
I
Well,
mean, I
I
like
think we're
these.
done.
Yeah, fair
I can
enough.
envisage these being short episodes, to be honest, because it's like most of the episodes, I feel like you could just say three sentences about them. It's like, yeah, you freaked out about some nines, and then it was true.
I mean, you could say that about most episodes, most TV shows, most movies. You could sum it up in maybe like one or two sentences. I mean, like essentially mine was, oh, I found this broad in his shed and she turned out to be
He
mental.
kisses a crow, yeah.
Kisses, nom nom nom.
Well, we'll give a quick summary of our thoughts on each other's episode before we get to the next episode. But since we're on Dark Place Dreamers, I'm going to take 1 minute to tell you, guess what I did 2 days ago? I went to see Garth Marenghi live at the book tour event in Dublin. And it was 45 minutes of him reading from his own book and then a 45-minute Q&A. So was it worth it? I don't know.
Did you ask any questions?
No. But
Oh, you
I
could have
don't
asked them
know.
why you're not friends.
They did ask him, will there be more Dark Place? And he says, well, that's the golden question. No. But there might be another book. He was quite funny, though. He did some cool jokes and he had this little spooky music sound effect thing that he was playing between his bits. I thought it was quite good. It was cheaply done. He had to get like audience members to get up to ask other audience members the questions. There was literally just him. But it was fine. He did a book signing afterwards. I did not bring my book because I was traveling to Dublin via Athens. So then I drove all the way to his other show in Belfast, which was sold out. And then they said he's not signing books here. So that was a shame. He did
So
only one
what is
sign.
the book actually about? Is it about Dirk?
No, it's just
No.
three short horror stories. One is about different personalities, like it's called Dark Fractions of His Mind. One is about Bride of Bone. It's like a bone skeleton guy trying to cut people up. And one is about, it's the main one. What's the main one about? It's not a good book.
But you own a copy.
Sorry. He has sex with an ancient Chinese typewriter. He has very kinky sex with an ancient Chinese typewriter, and it turns out to take them into another realm. And then he loses his writing contract because he's writing books that are just all punctuation and runic symbols and no words, but they're 10,000 pages long. And of course, the main character is a writer who's like a, written hundreds of crappy B-list horror books. It's just Garth Marenghi, but as a different guy. Right. It's essentially the guy in character as Garth Marenghi writing about another guy who's the same as Garth Marenghi, but is his character called Nick Steen.
You know what happened? He came home after one too many pints from the pub, looked at his typewriter and thought, I could.
It was weird, but it was nice to see him. It's one of those things that I've liked to show for, almost 20 years, so I'm glad I saw him in person. But there we go. We're gonna be back soon, I guess, with the next episode of Dark Place Dreamers. Have a spooky day.
Bye now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.